Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I am so excited. Want to say hello to everybody that's taking the time to tune in today to listen again. I know you could be doing other things on this sunny Saturday afternoon, depending on where you are. Well, it's sunny in this particular area, in the D.C., Virginia area. It's sunny. And I am just so thankful to have the opportunity again today to speak to an individual who I'm just so thankful that God has placed him on the planet because he's truly been a blessing to myself and to so many people. We're going to be talking about holistic health today, how to stay healthy. And our special guest today is none other than the owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., Brother Coy Dunston. Oh, my God, he is an awesome holistic healer. If you've ever had anything or if you know of somebody that is suffering from any dis-ease, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, you know, tuberculosis, pneumonia, whatever disease is going on in either your body or that person's body, know that there is an answer, that it can be healed. You do not have to suffer. And my special guest today, and I just want to move out of the way so I can get to him, and my special guest today is Coy Dunston. Brother Coy, welcome to Jawanza for Life.
Well, good evening to you and your audience. It's a pleasure to be back with you again. Hopefully I can spread some news that be helpful to someone and lift somebody's spirit this day.
All right. Well, again, I want to thank you, brother. It's truly an honor to have you back on. And I just want to get to some of these questions. You've been doing this for a long time, brother. You have been on this path for many, many years before some of the listeners might even have been born. And you've been doing it successfully. And, I mean, for some reason, the whole holistic thing has been kept a secret for a long time. I mean, the doctors are getting rich and everybody, it just seems like there is, when somebody gets ill, it's like the first thing they do is reach for the pills or, you know, go to the doctor and, you know, but if you know about the body and how the body works and what the body needs, then you don't need to do that. And again, brother, you're owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., and you've been using herbs and proper diet to help people live longer, and not just longer, but to add life to their life. And
amen.
So if we could just start with, because a lot of people might be out there, might be hearing this information for the first time. Brother Coy, what's the difference between allopathic medicine and holistic medicine?
Well, allopathic medicine is basically based on an addiction philosophy. In other words, you got an ailment and I can give you a pill to fix it. And there's no consideration for the rest of the body or what the condition of the body is to accept the medication or the drugs that they give you. And you wind up, even though you may get some temporary benefit, you find that the condition will come back. In the holistic arena, you have the responsibility, you place the responsibility on yourself to first do those things you know you should do to take care of your body. It's a holistic kind of a approach to the body. You have to deal with the mental, physical, and the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave out any one of those, you can create a disease in the body. So if in a holistic treatment program, you would first look at the things that you are doing that would cause you to become diseased or sick, and you would begin to reduce or eliminate those things out of your life and begin to do the things that you know you need to do. Like if you have a condition that you know of, you can take the herbs or the natural plants that God gave us to assist the body in bringing back, coming back to life or to getting rid of the condition. And you can furthermore do the spiritual thing with aligning yourself with your supreme being, mm-hmm. and getting in line and following and obeying your mother and father and the things that they taught you, and begin to treat your body like a whole entity, and you mm-hmm. find that you can do a better job of managing disease without going into an addiction or some kind of dependency on some kind of medication that's really creating the problem that you're taking it for.
Koi, hi. This is Aquia Chef Nateri Vet. Hello, everybody out
there.
How are
you today?
I'm great. Listen, that's good information that you just shared, because I think a lot of times people don't think about, you know, the whole entire aspect of the body. And so what you're saying is, if you just kind of maybe focus on your health, or if you just kind of focus on the spiritual aspect, you know, and not the you know, some of the other, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, all of that, if you're not balanced in all of those areas, are you saying that that can still produce a sickness, even if you might be a vegetarian and eating right, but something else might be off balance?
Yes, that is true. You got it all. That's you said it better than I could have. When you look at the whole body, you are taking the responsibility upon yourself to learn about the body, how it works, what it needs, and you begin to focus on that instead of your disease. But yeah, anytime you are out of balance physically, mentally, or spiritually, that is disease. In fact, all disease is spiritually based. There's something going on in your life that you're not dealing with, or that you can't deal with, and it begins to upset the rhythms in your body. Your body is like a car. You got to tune it up, and when it gets out of line, the tire doesn't have enough air in it, or you're not drinking enough water. It's little simple stuff. You can find that you're dropped down or spiral into a disease state, and that's and you'll be there until you address the condition that causes the problem.
That is so good.
Yes, it is. You know, Brother Koi, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, even as we're speaking, and I'm thinking, you know, how so many people put such an emphasis on the outer body. You know, the majority of people bathe every day, you know, take a lot of care into making sure that the outer body is clean, you know, and not only clean, look good, smelling good, you know, brothers shaving, getting haircuts, women using mascara and spending a lot of money to make sure that their hair looks good and they perfume and smell good. But the inner body, where you have the organs, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, and all of that, for many people, goes just neglected, you know. And if you could just talk about the need, if we, for example, let's use the example of a physical house. Oftentimes, people make sure that they clean their house once a week. They're going to make sure that they sweep, mop the floors, and wash the windows, and, you know, whatever their regimen is when it comes to cleaning the house, their physical house that they live in. But when it comes to their physical body, which actually houses the spirit or the soul, you know, they don't, you know, or the inner organs, when it comes to cleaning the inside of the body, not much attention is paid to that. So if you could talk about, if you would, just the importance of taking an inner bath, if you will, making sure that the blood is clean and the organs are clean.
I think that's the consideration there is a lot has to do with what you eat, what you drink. I think probably the most destructive thing that we can do to our body is give it sugar. Sugar makes you forget and makes you complacent. It makes you docile. And we are a sugar junkie nation, and we need to first consider how much sugar intake we take. In fact, I call sugar the first drug, because it's a gateway to all the other drugs that we get into including prescription drugs. Because you feel like you don't have to be responsible for yourself, and when you feel that way, you tend to depend on someone else to take care of you. Like you go to the doctor said this, the doctor said that, and you accept it, and you feel like you can't do anything about it because the doctor said it, and you wind up spiraling into a deeper disease unless you take the what the doctor says a warning and begin to address the condition. But oftentimes the doctors don't deal with addressing the condition. They only deal with giving you a drug. So you have to step outside of that and actually put the drugs on the table and put your health regime on the table, and you look at it and you say, what can I do to eliminate this and this disease that I'm in? And first thing you need to do is look at your diet, eliminate those things, you know, dairy products, cheese and milk. They probably cause more allergies than any other food that we eat. And the sugar is, like we mentioned, it breaks down your mental capacity. So you become weak, or you become ineffective in being able to deal with the conditions that you're faced with, and you depend on someone else to do it. So it's like an addiction. You become dependent on the prescription drugs. You become dependent on whatever you do to address what the doctor say or what the doctor gives you, and you find that you can go further and further into this disease state and still have the condition. Even though you're taking the medication, you still have the condition. So you have to say that God didn't give me this to take, and I don't need this to live, and you have to make that decision in your mind and do whatever you can to move from that side to the side of taking care of yourself, taking responsibility for your health, and doing the things you know you need to do to become healthy.
Can you say that again, Coy? Can you say what you just
go ahead, me, Coy, because I've been...
I thought about God didn't give that to you. How did you say that?
Well, God didn't give you the medications that the doctor gives you to take. The doctor gave it to you. God gave you the green leafy vegetables, the grains, nuts, and seeds, the good clean water, the vitamins and minerals that we need. And the source of that God food is what keeps you healthy and helps your body, gives your body the fuel it needs to run properly. So without the until you address that side of the issue, the doctor can give you the medication and you can take it for 30 years and still have the same condition. Unless you take the responsibility to look at the options you have in terms of addressing the condition that you have and begin to act on them.
You know, Brother Coy, so many people start their day with a cup of coffee, with sugar. I mean, can you imagine if that's how you wake up? I mean, that's the first thing that goes in your mouth.
Yeah.
As soon as you open your eyes, you can't even, well, many people can't function, can't even start, their whole day is thrown off if they cannot have a cup of coffee with sugar, you know.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine that if you start your day that way, you know, for many people, their bodies may have adjusted, but it's pretty much downhill from there. I mean, if you're starting your day with sugar, I mean, the very thing that... as you mentioned, can cause, mess with your memory, you know, you can't retain information, you know, I would imagine, especially if you're a student, you know what I mean, and you need your brain, you need to actually remember certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, just starting your day with sugar, a lot of people, that's a routine. And I know that for myself, even sugar is a very difficult It's like you said, it's a drug, and for many people, if that sweet tooth, you got to satisfy it. So how would you advise someone to actually break, or how? Okay, somebody agrees with you and say, you know what, I heard Coy Dunstan, he's right, I need to break this sugar thing. How do I do it?
Well, you're dealing with the palate, and the best way to change your palate is to do a fast. You do the... And then you don't have to do the complete whole, you know, no food, no nothing. You can gradually change the way you eat, basically. You start eliminating those things that you know you shouldn't take. Instead of coffee, you maybe get a good herbal tea that will give you the same kind of feeling. You can go and instead of doing the cereal with the milk, maybe you can just get a whole grain cereal and pour some apple juice over it, and you can eliminate the sugar. At least the refined white sugar. That's the problem that we get into because we rely on someone else to feed us. they go into a lab and they figure out what it is that you like about a food, and they design a food that you, that will get you coming back, that make you addicted to it. So you have to watch the food that you buy, because the whole bottom line with the food industry is the, is how do I make my money? And they do that by actually addicting you to the food that foods that you eat, and that's the cereals with the sugar, the eggs, the cheese, the milk. All of those things are designed to make you want more or to eat more. The fat in the meat, the fried fats, the fast food chains, all of those things are designed in a laboratory to, because they know what the what flavor you like. They know how to create that flavor in a lab, and they can put it in a food and cause you to keep coming back to them. And that's what's happening to us as a nation, and we are not accepting responsibility to feed ourselves or to grow our own food, so we're becoming zombies and subject to the wishes of the corporations.
This is so good. You know, as you're talking, it also, what I hear you also saying is take ownership, you know, and you have to love yourself enough to want to say, I'm going to take ownership, I'm going to take my life back into my hands, and, you know, a lot of times many people are forced to do that because as you get older, of course, you know, you don't have that, you don't snap back, you know, as quickly as you might when you're young. And so a lot of
The diseases have kind of set in with you, like when you get into arthritis and diabetes and, well, it used to be that way, but now you're getting them at a younger age because we are eating the foods at a younger age. We're not feeding our children the food that they need to build a strong body. But generally, as you get older, your diseases set in more. Your gout comes, the arthritis comes, the diabetes comes, the high blood pressure comes, and we keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, and it's not going to happen. I don't care how many doctors you go to until you stop the sugar, stop the milk, stop the dairy, stop the sugar, all of those things that we know we should not be taking that much anyway, we are going to have that problem. Now, earlier in our life, like before the 50s, a lot of the foods that we ate, we grew. We grew it on our own farm, on our own little land, and we knew what we were eating. Even the meat, it was better because we knew how to prepare the meat to kill so that we wouldn't have the stress hormones that's created by the way they treat the animals in the slaughterhouses, including chickens and pigs. And that's the probably the most things that we eat. We think that unless we have some pork or some chicken, we are not eating. Those are probably the worst things you could put in your body. So from the time of slavery, we have not addressed the issue of how we should eat and what we should eat. We're still on a slave diet, and now they have perfected it to a point to where we enjoy it and we prefer that because we would rather eat that than to take the responsibility of feeding ourselves. And that's why we are the obesity nation, I guess we call it now. Yes.
And, you know, it was probably a couple of weeks ago I came home and I bought an article home and I showed it to Jawanza where, I don't know if you heard about this, that I think it's China or something is being prosecuted because they found out that they were disguising...
Rat.
Yeah, using rat and... some other animal, and they was substituting. They were saying it was beef or something like that, but they found out that it was actually rat and another
mink. I think it was
maybe
some
cat.
Other kind of animal.
Maybe cat.
Maybe dog.
You know, something that.
Yeah, maybe a dog. Yeah. Yeah, that's where the food supply is going. They, you know, you run out of chicken, you run out of beef, and you go to something that to replace it. Either that or you design a food that looks like it and tastes like it, but it's really, in the end, it's not the kind of food that your body really needs. So you're just temporarily changing. So you just got to stay with the grains, nuts, and seeds, the things that come out of the ground, the things that God put here for us to eat. And whenever you have to eat something other than that, you should be suspect of it and do whatever you can to make sure that it goes through you and out of you as soon as you can and not get addicted to it, have it every meal or every day, you have to vary your diet so that you don't get stuck on whatever someone else is feeding you.
Brother Coy, could you talk about, I've heard this many times, and I'm sure that you've heard it many times, and that is you have people that say that certain diseases run in their family. You know, oh, my mother had cancer, her mother had cancer, or diabetes, or arthritis, or whatever. But that's something that I hear and have heard often people say, that particular diseases run in their family. Can you address that?
Well, if you look at cancers, diabetes, arthritis, and all of those things are preventable. And anything that's preventable is not hereditary. So you have to get that notion out of your head and begin to look at what your parents or what your grandparents are doing or did that created the condition for them. And if you look at it, you can probably find that most of the time it's the foods that they ate that contributed largely to it. A lot of it could be stress. A lot of it could be just not being able to get along with their mate, or just, you know, stressful households. A lot of that can happen too. But with the food side, most of the foods that we eat comes, most of the diseases that we incur comes from the foods that we eat. So if I had that kind of condition in my family, the first thing I would do is start doing something different. I wouldn't keep doing the same thing, going to this family reunion and eating the pork and the barbecue and the cakes and the pies that we grew up on. At some point, we have to say, well, maybe I'll just eat a salad today, or at least half the week I'll eat a salad or something, a grain, a nut, or seed or something, and do some juicing, get me a juicer, and like the NutriBullet or Magic Bullet or something, whatever, that will give you a pure, clean juice, and do that for a while. But if you keep doing the same thing, it would appear that the disease is hereditary, but it's because you have not accepted the responsibility to change what you do and correct the condition and build up, in the case of diabetes, your pancreas so that it can function properly, and in the case of gout, to get rid of the flesh so that you don't develop the uric acid in your system. That's the only way you get it. Cholesterol comes from animal fat. Uric acid comes from animal fat. The allergies come from dairy products. And just knowing that little simple process, you can begin to eliminate the foods that we know cause diseases and begin to switch into a diet that would be more conducive to health.
And Coy, does the using of the herbs, if you continue to still do the same things, does the herbs really help? I mean, if you're going to continue to eat improperly, will substituting herbs that might counteract maybe a bad eating habit, but you really haven't changed that bad eating habit, will the herbs really help you?
So, for example, if somebody was eating meat but took herbs, would the herbs have any benefit?
Well, if they're taking a colon cleanser, that would help. It would keep the meat from settling in the system long enough to create that uric acid, and it would keep the gut clean enough maybe so that you don't develop colon cancer. So you could get some benefit from it. But the idea is that you got to move away from the things we know we should not do, and in order to really regain and maintain a healthy lifestyle. That's the bottom line. You can do the in-between stuff, but you can't be here and there too. You got to be one side or the other. You can't be double-minded. So you can't eat and drink anything you want and take herbs and expect everything to be okay. It will help, yes. But eventually the herbs will not be able to do what it's supposed to do, because you'll kill the organ that it's affecting, and then the herbs can't do anything with it. So if you're going to make that change or start the herbal program, then do the whole thing. Go to the grains, nuts, and seeds. Stay away from the dairy products, the flesh, and all the other things we know we shouldn't, and do the best you can at that. It doesn't mean that you won't ever do it again, but at least restrict it to a certain time of the week or a day of the week or 1 week out of the month or something like that. But if you're going to do it, at least if you're going to do the herbs, give the herbs a chance. You know, you can help yourself by just following the herbal program and watching your body and see what's happening, and you can see that what's coming out of you and it'll be changing, and you want to just the things that are coming out, you want to cut out so that you can get the body back to doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, I always heard that the herbs work better in a clean body anyway. So, I mean, it's effective if your body is clean or you are, you know, eating properly. I did have another question also, too, for someone that is transitioning from allopathic medicine and want the, you know, to want is starting to use the herbs. How do you recommend them transitioning from something like that? Because, you know, a lot of people get scared when they've been on high blood pressure medicine or something like that, and now they want to make that transition, but they're actually scared to stop taking the medicine, you know, right away. Can the herb, I mean, because I think one time you might have mentioned that sometimes the medicine might counteract the herb, or the herb might counteract the medicine. So how do you recommend transitioning off of actually allopathic medicine?
Well, you can start with talking to your doctor, and that would tell you a lot. If your doctor tell you to leave that herb stuff alone, it don't work, then you know you got the wrong doctor. Run to another doctor as quick as you can. That's
okay.
A good start. Find a doctor that has some knowledge of the natural side of medicine that a consultation or something with them to give you some confidence. The allopathic medicine is based on fear. They tell you you got a disease, and then you feel like unless you do what they tell you to do, you're going to die. That's how they operate. So you got to get over the fear. You can't live in fear. If you fear will either paralyze you or get you to moving. And so depending on how you think and what kind of shape your brain is in, if the doctor tells you you got a disease and you're going to die and you believe it, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, well, no, I'm not going to accept that, I'm going to see what else I can do, and you go and look and talk to people and read and do what you need to do to determine what's best to do in your situation, then you are acting on your own responsibility and taking responsibility for your body, and your body will respond to you. So you have to be careful what you tell your body, because your body will respond to whatever you say. So if you say that there's no possibility that I can get myself healed as long as I'm taking these allopathic medicines, that's what's going to happen. You're not going to get healed, and you're going to die. But if you make a decision that you're going to change and start doing some of the things that you know you should be doing anyway, and accept the responsibility and fight back the fear, you can overcome. So that's the first thing you got to do, get your mind right. And then when you decide to do that, then you have to be willing and able to stick with it, because it won't be easy sometimes. If you really have an embedded disease, you may have to go through a process of getting that stuff out of you and actually having the body heal itself, and sometimes that's not very pleasant. You can help the body by doing enemas, doing an enema, or doing the colon cleansing, or doing the fasting. All of those things help. But you got to understand, even in a fast, unless you do it properly, it can really make you sick. And you have to be willing to go through that to get yourself to a place to where your body can function on its own. So it's really a mind thing you have to deal with. And if you go to the doctor and they tell you you got cancer and you believe you're going to die, you're going to die. And if you accept responsibility and say cancer is not going to defeat me and I'm going to do whatever I can to overcome it, then yes. But the consideration is what are you going to do about it? If you just say I'm going to rely on my faith, that's great. The spiritual, you need the spiritual side. But your physical body still needs to be fed. It still needs to be healed. It still needs to be cared for. And if you don't take the responsibility of learning what that body needs and what it takes to get it back to good health, you're not going to recover as fast. So you have to give your body a chance to fight and then go through the fight with your body. And on the other side, you'll find that you'll be much better off and drug-free, and that's where you want to be.
Well, you know, even there are people who believe in faith healing. I'm one of those people. And there are people, though, who religiously, every Sunday, in church, they're in the healing line. And if God were to heal them of whatever it is that they may have had, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, gout, any of the diseases, oftentimes in churches, immediately following the service, especially around church anniversary time, they're feeding people in the back.
They call for the chicken, the meat. That's what we eat, and that's all we know to eat. So maybe if you are that person in that church, you can talk to the pastor and say, look, pastor, I know you're trying to accommodate us and give us something to eat and all that. That's great. But I would like to take the responsibility to maybe try a juice bar in the back and give the people a choice in terms of whether or not they want to drink coffee or a good fresh juice in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When they come, and that's something you can kind of establish yourself in the church as a person that's concerned about people's health, and you do those kind of things. But unless someone steps up and accepts the responsibility to make a change, it's not going to change. So if you're in a church, you have to learn how to work with the church so that you can at least be able to show that you are concerned about people and you are there and willing to do whatever is necessary to get them to change.
Right. Our special guest today is Coy Dunston. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. You're listening to Juwanza for Life, and we have the pleasure of sitting at the feet of a master healer today. Brother Coy Dunston is owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., and he is been doing this and been on this path for the longest time, and if you love what you're hearing, as I'm sure that you do, then, you know, you can contact Coy if you've got questions or whatever. The number there is area code 202-562-0041. Brother Coy, I wanted to backtrack just a bit. We touched on herbs earlier, and I want to go back there for a moment because there might be somebody who is, you know, they've heard about herbs, you know, they're kind of spooky about herbs. They think, oh, herbs, you talking voodoo now, and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And like Yvette mentioned, you know, there might be somebody who feels like, well, you know, I heard that the herbs work better in a clean body, so I'm not going to go buy no herbs until, you know, I get to a place where I've flushed my body out and, you know, I've done some other things first. Would you suggest that a person start where they are? I mean, because I'm under the impression, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that if there's an herbal store down the street and they sell herbs like, you know, that help to cleanse the body, the colon cleansers, the blood purifiers, would you suggest that a person not take, for example, BPX or, you know, that, you know, we know that burdock and yellow dock and these other herbs help to purify the blood. Would you suggest that a person not do that until they've actually, you know, cleansed the body, when these actual herbs help in cleansing the body?
Right. That's not a good idea. I think you need all the help you can get when you start this process. And you may want to just make that a part of your plan, is just to go to a health food store, try to talk to someone that know more about the subject than you do, and get some ideas on what you can do to reach where you want to go. And just get those herbs and start taking them, and gradually begin to eliminate those things that you know you shouldn't be doing anyway, and increasing them and learning. You have to really study the herbs so you will know how they work in the body and what to expect. And I think that would be a better way to go than just trying to. You can't really clean up your body on your own. You got to have something to assist the body. When we eat the meat and the dairy products, our body can't process it, so the body stores it, and it just creates this condition in the body. And unless you do something to move that stuff out, or as much of it as you can, you're not really going to be clean. And it's just about impossible to clean yourself unless you do something to help the body along. Now, you won't have to do it forever. But it's going to take your body about 90 days to begin to heal. And during that time, you should do everything you can do, including fasting and juicing and everything else, to assist the body through the process. And then you have to come up with a plan of what you're going to do after that 90 days. If you're going to go back and start eating the same stuff, you're going to cycle of disease, and you're going to wind up getting the same condition over again, or the condition will never abate. So you have to kind of get yourself on a plan and work through the process of how you're going to do this and stick with it and do whatever you can to eat whatever you can or get whatever you can to address or assist the body in getting through this process that you're getting ready to go into. But until you do that, yes, you're going to, it's not much you can do other than to live with the disease, basically. And when your pancreas goes, which is probably the biggest disease we get now, the pancreas, it breaks down. When the pancreas breaks down, it's not going to rejuvenate itself or do what it's supposed to do until you push all that stuff out and begin to give it some live enzyme food. When you eat live food, your pancreas doesn't have to do anything. So any disease that you have that's related to the pancreas, just start a raw diet. Eat a raw diet for 90 days or as long as you can do it, and you'll find that your body, anything to do with blood sugar and all the other kind of problems that comes from diabetes, your kidneys, and then your high blood pressure, and then your heart attacks, all of that is the same cycle of you're breaking down your pancreas. So you have to understand that your pancreas is the beginning process of trying to heal your body if you got that kind of disease, and then you can begin to address the overall body by using the herbs to restore the pancreas.
Well, Coy, what about the some of the things as far as annual checkups, as far as getting the mammograms for women, as well as the
prostate,
and also what is it called? I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it correctly. It's the
colonoscopy or
colonoscopy? Yes, yeah. All of those things are fine because it's a good idea to monitor yourself and see where you are. It's
okay.
A good idea to know what your body signs are, your conditions are. But beyond that, it's what you're going to do about it. If you go to the doctor and you find that your prostate is enlarged or your breasts have a little tissue in it or something, what are you going to do about it? In the case of the mammograms, they find something. The first thing I would ask myself is, what kind of deodorant are you using? Because most of the deodorants are full of aluminum, and aluminum goes directly into fatty tissue, and it creates these lumps and bumps and all this other stuff that you get in your breast.
Wow.
And it also feeds the fibroid tumors that you get. You have to be careful with the programs that they put you on to kind of try to address those issues. Most of the time they say, well, we'll give you a lumpectomy or something. They cut them out and sew you up or put a ball in there and send you out. But when oftentimes it's not necessary, that's why you have to accept the responsibility for your health. And when you get the news that something is wrong, do whatever you can do on your own to address the condition. And then if all else fails, you've been living with this disease probably since you were a teenager. You developed it, and so when you go to the doctor and they see the evidence of it, you're not going to die right then. It's going to be a minute or so before you die, so you have time. So don't feel rushed. And when you go into the allopathic clinics, the first thing they want to do, I see a lump, let's go in and cut it out, because that's their way of dealing with the process. And you don't have to do that fast. If you take time, step back, take a breath, and say, well, I got faith and I got some herbs and I got some people I can talk to that can help me, and I'm going to do this for 30, 60, 90 days, and if that don't work, I'll come back to you, and if you tell me I'm still in bad shape, then I'll do what you tell me to do. That's how you can address that and deal with the issues of the diseases, of preventable diseases that we die from so often. For nothing, or we go to the hospital and then we never come out because we are not giving the body what it needs to fight the disease, so it just deteriorates into death. So we have to learn how to take care of the body, what you need to do, what kind of things we need to eat, how kind of water we need to drink, what kind of air we need to breathe, and begin to act on that before we start doing a lot of other stuff. Because once you cut it out, you can't put it back. So. You have
Preach.
To do what you have to do first, yeah.
Wow. So would you say that all diseases are preventable or all diseases can be cured?
Both.
I would say so, but, the way the laws are written now, you really, can't use the word cure if you're in public and you're talking to people. You can't say that you can cure the body of a disease, because they're saying that only doctors can do that, or the body can't cure itself. The body won't do it. So we are in this battle of words about what we can say in terms of how we can treat the body. So you have to be careful with that. But yes, you can say that if you give the body what it needs, and this is something that I've done and it worked for me, you can give your own personal testimony about something, and
yes.
Your people can talk and listen, and you can communicate with them, and in that respect you can say whatever you want to say to a person in terms of what it's done for me, and what it's done for you as an individual. You can tell people that, but you can't say if you take this it's going to cure you. That's you're stepping across the line, and that's where they oftentimes that's how they regulate us and keep us from being able to really get out there and tell people that what they really need to know to get themselves well, because it's a legal thing, and you really need to know how to do that so that you don't get yourself in trouble.
Wow.
Can you use the word heal?
You really can't use that heal or cure. Those words are what they call some kind of special word. When it's a special word, words of art. Those are words of art, and only certain people can use those. You got to be licensed to use those words, and if you're not licensed, they can come and get you for practicing without a license or something along that line. So
that's
how the law works, and it's designed to keep the drug industries in charge. But remember, the drug industry has only been around since the 30s and 40s. You know, the Rockefeller brought it in, and they took over our health industry. And a lot of the myths that we believe about herbs and the holistic industry comes from the implementation of the drug and pharmaceutical industry in this country, and it has pretty much maintained a stranglehold through the fear, through the operation of fear. We believe whatever they say, and because they license themselves to do that, and we have to go to them because that's the only option we have. But before that, we couldn't even, as black people, we couldn't even, as slaves, we didn't even have doctors. We didn't even know what a hospital was. So how did we survive during that time? It's because we knew how to use the plants, and we knew how to use the herbs and how to take care of ourselves in a way. My mother, my grandmother could go out in the woods, and they could recognize yellow dock. They could recognize Pardiaco or whatever herbs were available in the area. They could recognize them, and they knew how to pick them and prepare them so that they would correct any whatever condition you have in the body. So we've lost that. Now if you take a group of people out in the woods, you'd be lucky to know what we can eat and what we can't eat. So if it ever comes a time where we don't have food, or the supermarket shut down, or the freezer's cut off, and we have to live on the land, we'd be hard pressed. We'd probably have to do some trial and error and see if people eat it, if they died, before we know what we could eat and what we couldn't eat. And that's the sadness of the situation. We have lost the ability to even recover ourselves, and that is dangerous.
You know, Brother Coy, that had to be God-given wisdom to have given that wisdom intuitively to our ancestors, to those that came before us, those who knew how to, you know, grow the food and knew that, you know, if I take yellow dock, it'll cure this. If I take Pardiaco, it's going to do that. I mean, because I thought about it once, and I was like, my God, it must have taken a lot of trial and error to just to know, to get to the point where now we know today that, say, burdock, yellow dock, dandelion, these are blood purifiers. So how much trial and error had to go into actually finding out that if I take this, this is going to cure the blood, or if I take that herb, this is going to cure cancer, or this is going to lower my blood pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, that had to be God-given wisdom, you know, because you could be forever going through all the plants in the plant kingdom to find out what cures what.
Well,
and I'm sure they probably observed a lot of the animals, you know.
Well, that's true. That's the first thing, yeah. If the animal is treated, and an animal, when they get sick, they can automatically go to the plant that they need to correct their condition. That's an innate ability of an animal. But with us, we like the pets, but we don't like to, and we like to feed them what we want them to have, and they could wind up with the same diseases we got. So we're not using what's in front of us. But the greatest thing that we miss here is that this world runs on law, and I think one of the first laws is honor thy mother and thy father, and they will give you the wisdom that you need to know these things and to be assured that this is correct and that's wrong. So they will teach you right from wrong, and they will. But we have lost the ability to even communicate with our parents almost. So we're not only not honoring our mothers and fathers, it's beginning to bring us to the point of extinction, so that we're not even able to do anything about the condition or even recognize what we need to do to get back in line. So we have to remember those things, and because we are so educated and we got all these degrees, we think our mothers and fathers don't know anything. But a lot of that information, a lot of that knowledge, they do have, and we have to get it out of them before they leave us.
Brother Coy, if you could talk about water for a while, because again, as you stated, most of us don't drink as much water as we should drink. And even I've been told that at night, when we're sleeping, when we're resting, bodies at rest, that oftentimes, might not be oftentimes, might be all the time, that the toxins that are in the body are actually released into the body. And
in the bloodstream.
Into the bloodstream. So if we drink water first thing in the morning, say maybe a glass of distilled water, which is going to pull because it's lacking in minerals, it's not full, it's empty, like a sponge is going to pull out the toxins in the body. So would you suggest, say, distilled water first thing in the morning, and then if you're going to drink that throughout the day, but for the first glass, should that be distilled?
I would concur with that. The only thing I would add to it is maybe a lime or lemon, squeeze some lime or lemon juice in it, and to get the acidity level right. You remember, we're dealing with acid and alkaline. Distilled water is acidic, and you have to be mindful of that, so you don't want to drink it all day. So maybe the first thing in the morning, the only time you should use it is to flush. So if you want to get that morning flush, distilled water is okay. But it's even better if you squeeze a little lemon in it, and that'll aid the process of elimination, and you will get a much better result. And then you can go to, right now the hot thing is alkaline water, because the way we eat, the way we live, and the air that we breathe, the food that we eat is so acidic that we need to do everything we can to make sure that we get some pH or some alkalinity in the system, which is the balance is like a 7.3 on a scale of 1 to 10. So you want to do whatever you need to do to make sure that your body gets enough alkalinity. And a good way to do it is by drinking good, clean water. If the water is alkaline, that's great. What I would be concerned about is tap water or water that comes through the pipes of the sewer, the sanitation system. They tell you it's okay, but we know that they put a lot of chemicals in it to kill it, and it's a lot of it is recycled bath water or toilet water that they just recycle, and they try to clean it with all these chemicals, and then they tell you it's okay to drink. And if that works for you, that's fine, but I would say that you at least ought to consider getting a water filter, or if you don't want to buy the water, buy alkaline water, or if you buy water, buy alkaline water, and if not, at least some kind of filtered water I would recommend, and spring water. You want to make sure if you get a spring water that it is from a clean spring. So you want to do some research on the area that the spring is in and make sure it's not below soil level, and so that the pollution in the soil is not in that water table that's feeding this spring. But the consideration on water is just stay as clean as you can. Distilled water is the cleanest water, but you have to remember it is acidic. So you have to do something to make it a little less acidic, so that you don't get your body too acidic and that's disease. If you can keep your pH balanced, that's your acid alkaline level. If you can keep that balanced, you'll never get sick. And that's a good way to start. And oftentimes when you think you're hungry, your body is just thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to drink a good bottle of clean water, and you'll find that your body will respond, and you won't have to eat or feel addicted that you have to go get a hamburger or something to eat all the time. So drinking water is important, and you should drink at least half your body weight in ounces every day. Whatever water you can get, drink at least your half your body weight in water every day, and that will help you flush and keep the body from breaking down into a diseased state of acidity.
Now, is it possible that a substance can change its composition once it's in the body? Because I thought that lemons were acidic. I thought that, you know, so, you know, I mean, does it, once it enters the body, does something happen? I mean, if you're testing it outside of the body or with a pH tester or something, I mean, once it gets into the body, does it change or?
Well, we think lemons are acidic because they're bitter, but lemons are bitter because we eat too much sweet. So lemons are really alkaline, so you have to that's another thing we have to learn more about, and we have to study more about the alkaline and acid level of the foods that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the foods that we eat are acid. They are, when we say acid and when we talk about acid, they are man-made. It's a man went on a laboratory and put a potato and a beet together, and they come up with a carrot. So that's
mm-hmm.
a hybrid food. And it's any hybrid food or any food that's not completely the way God made it, it's acidic to the body. So, yes, we have to begin to learn that there's a sweet side of the food and there's a bitter side of the food. Now, that doesn't have very much to do with its pH balance, but if you add lemon to your distilled water, it will make it more alkaline. So
okay.
It's how you use it and how you ingest it in the body that makes the difference. And so if you know you have a sweet tooth, learn to eat more bitter foods. Don't cut back on the sweet stuff and eat more bitter, like bitters. That's the Oriental or the Eastern idea of medicine. They have one side is always the opposite. There's a negative and a positive. So you have to feed the body from all of those sides, negative, positive, up and down, and you will find that that's another way to keep the body balanced. That's the Eastern or the Oriental way of dealing with disease. They do it.
You know,
a lot of the
cultures from the East, the Orientals, the people from India, they do a lot of breath work. I mean, you know, they do a lot of meditating and, you know, stuff to relieve stress. I mean, life can be stressful. Just going through everyday living can, you know, things can happen that can cause stress on the body. If you could talk about breathing properly and just talk about getting still for a moment, you know, dealing with the hustle and bustle of the world, sometimes we got to get away, and even Jesus said he got away from everybody and went aside to pray, you know what I mean? So if you just about just getting away and getting still and learning how to properly.
Well, I think the best way to do that is to start your day. Now, when we grew up, we were told we need to pray in the morning, pray at night. But the purpose of that was to get us to center ourselves and think about the rest of the world and how we're going to deal with it that day. And that's the best stress reliever you can get. You got to, when you wake up in the morning, you can just start doing some breathing. When you inhale, your gut should come out, get it like a balloon, blow it up. And when you exhale, everything should go in. So you need to do that at least 15, 20 times before you even think about doing anything else. And that settles your body down, that settles your mind, and then you can begin to listen or speak or say what you have to say for the day and what you want for that day. And then you can get up and exercise and do whatever else you want to do. But the most important thing is the breathing and settling yourself and gathering your thoughts for the day. And giving your body time to just de-stress. And you can do that in the morning. You can do it maybe at noon if you want to. Find a space instead of eating a hamburger or a hot dog. Just find a quiet place or get you some good clean water and just breathe and drink the water and breathe and just de-stress. That's how you de-stress the body. Breathing is probably the most important exercise you can do, and it's one we probably do less of than any other exercise. And oftentimes when we go to the gym or we get this, we feel like we got to sweat and all of that. It's really not necessary because it adds more stress on an already stressful body, and sometimes you just have to sit down and just let your body settle down into the day and speak the commands that you want for that day and make it manifested in your mind. And it's oftentimes you just can't do it by lifting weights or running for 50 miles every morning. You're going to do more damage to your body in the long run than you're going to help it, because it's going to put more stress on your joints and they're going to wear out sooner, and you're going to put more muscle, you're going to wear out your muscles, and unless you keep those muscles tuned and tight, you're going to begin to sag. So you're going to have to, if you're going to do those kind of exercises, you got to understand that you just can't stop doing them once you get into them. You got to kind of let your body come down slow and keep it toned so that you don't sag or the pain don't get you or your knee don't go out. But when you run and your ankles and your knees start hurting, it's time to stop running because you're doing more damage than good.
Well, Coy, I just looking at everything that you shared today, and all of the information is great, and we can't get everything in one show. But, some things that really, really stood out to me everything stood out to me, but just some things, just the fact that you're just saying take ownership back of your health, and, it's not just focusing in one area. You have to focus, you have to be balanced. And, mm-hmm. And the part that you were just talking about, the stress part, the things that we need to do to take care of our bodies. All of this information is good, and we really appreciate you coming on and just sharing all of that with us.
And I just want to say to the people that are listening that it's a process. People have known people who started to make the transition, then they stopped. Then they started up again, then they stopped. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Whatever your condition is, you didn't get it overnight, as Coy would say, so give yourself time, and especially the older we get, as we get older, we have to start taking better care of ourselves. And, just know that the regimen that you might feel like, oh, God, I'll never get there. Yes, you will. One thing's for sure. If you quit, no, you won't get there.
But that's correct. That's for sure.
Okay? If you continue on, you will get there. But just remember that a small step in the right direction beats a large step in the wrong direction. And, Brother Coy, we've got a few minutes left. I want to give your information again because this is fabulous. I know the people that are listening are just as impressed with you as we are. If you want to get in contact with Coy, you can reach him at 202-562-0041. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Is there any other information that you'd like to give the listeners, Brother Coy, a website or anything that people can contact you?
Well, no, just my phone number. They can call, and if not, I have an email, son1104@netzero.net, son1104@netzero.net. But I appreciate you having me today, and I appreciate the opportunity to share what little I have to share. And I wish that if anybody needs any assistance, they can contact me at the numbers and the points given. And remember that, in order to maintain your health, you have to understand your health. So we still have to study, and understand that your body will respond if you give it the right information and food. So be mindful of what you think and what you say and how you treat your brothers and your neighbors.
And, Coy, are you offering any workshops that you're at your shop, do you offer any workshops, anything going on right now?
Well, right now, because of the housing market, we do a foreclosure prevention or property, whatever issues you have around your property. We have a workshop every Saturday morning at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest. That has been very popular and well attended in terms of food. We are trying to continue to provide the best food that you can get in the city to those that are interested in changing their diet. We offer the information that you need, either personally or in groups. We do speaking engagements, all of that we can do. So anything that I can do and any way I can assist, I'll make myself available to do so.
Brother Coy, I just want to say, brother, it must be something to actually just to be the answer to a prayer, because there may be someone out there who was wondering, what am I going to do? You know, I went to the doctor said I got cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure, and they prayed. You know,
yeah.
What am I going to do? And here comes Coy Dunston
yes, sir.
With the answer, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you mentioned earlier, what little I have to share. That little that you had to share to save somebody's life. So I'm going to say that lot that you had to share, brother, because if acted upon, this information can actually not just change your life, but
yeah.
save your life, add years to your life, and add life to your life. So, brother, again, I want to say thank you so much for being my special guest today. It's always a pleasure. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, dear?
No, just thank you so much, Coy. We're definitely going to have you back on soon.
Yes, hopefully next
week.
Maybe we can do a weekly thing because, again, this is information that people need to hear over and over and over again.
Yeah.
One show might not do it. Sometimes you got to hear it again and hear it again and hear it again. And however many times you need to hear it, that's how many times we're going to have Brother Coy. It's truly been an honor. It's truly been a pleasure again, Brother Coy. Again, thank you. We look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, without you, the audience wouldn't have been able to hear me, so I appreciate what you do, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Brother Coy. We'll be in touch.
I look forward to that.
All right. Peace and blessings, sir.
Shalom.
That was Brother Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. My name is Jawanza, and you're listening to Jawanza for Life. We thank you so much for taking the time to tune in. You could be doing a lot of other things. And, again, I want to give that telephone number again to Coy in Washington, D.C. He'll take your calls. He'll answer your questions. You can reach him at 202-562-0041 Monday through Saturday. I believe he's closed on Sundays. So, again, now it's time to take control of your life. Now it's time to take control of your health. Whatever the doctor says that you have, you can get rid of it. It's going to take discipline, but you can get rid of it. And there might be somebody out there and say, well, I heard that information is no good. I heard that herbs don't work. Well, the Chinese have a saying, proverb, if you will, it says, no investigation, no right to speak. In other words, if you have not investigated it for yourself, then you can't speak on it. Just listening to somebody else say, well, I heard somebody told me that they knew somebody who tried those herbs and it didn't work. But did you try it? Did you try it for yourself? Try it for yourself. Give it a chance and see. For yourself.
Absolutely. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that tuned in today. And we're going to be bringing on Coy back again.
Mm-hmm.
Coy used to come on a regular basis. And we kind of got away from the holistic aspect of the show. But we're definitely going to be bringing that back. We know it's a needed topic to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, again and remind us. You know, we can get so busy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we forget about something that's very important, which is our health.
Probably most
we can get
important.
And we can get so busy trying to make money and do a lot of other things, and then can't even enjoy the fruits of our labor. So, you know, we definitely want to make sure that we're well-rounded.
We have a show called Set for Life that comes on Sundays from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, we talk about entrepreneurship and, you know, how you can become set for life, but making money, and that's it's wonderful. It's your right, you know what I mean? Make as much as you can, but if you're too sick to spend it, then there are some things that you can go to the doctor, and I don't care what you got. I mean, you have millionaires that have died from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You have millionaires that have died from diabetes, okay? So if you want to be healthy, if you've gone to the doctor and you know that that medication isn't working, you feel like this is not working. You feel like, and the only reason you go is because you feel like there aren't any other options. You know it ain't working, but you feel like, what else am I supposed to do? Well, try the herbal way. Try the vegetarian way. Give it a shot and see how you like it. There are options. Well, again, we want to thank you so much for tuning in. It's been truly a labor of love. We love you, and we look forward to doing these shows. Thank you so much for your time. We definitely appreciate it.
And until the next time,
peace and blessings.
Peace.
See you next week. I know you do.